Unit 10. Reading. Translation. How language shapes our lives.
In the global economy, language is crucial. Companies often work hard to create brands that are recognizable throughout the world, and at the same time try to keep words to a minimum in their logos and advertising campaigns. When the iPod Shuffle came out, the campaign was based on two words, small talk. In English, this refers to superficial conversation about trivial things like weather, but many languages don't use these words in the same way. So instead of translating the slogan, the company adapted it. In fact, it had to be adapted differently even for countries that speak the same language. In Spain, the phrase used was, ya sabe hablar, which is something that parents say when children start talking. In Latin American Spanish, the message read, mira quién habla, or look who's talking. France chose the slogan, donnez lui de la voix, or let him speak, while in French Canada, it was petit parleur, grand faiseur, meaning says little, does much. Mistranslating words can cost a company millions, as in the case of one banking giant. The slogan for their advertising campaign, Assume Nothing, was mistranslated in several countries as Do Nothing. The mistake cost $10,000 to correct. In Japan, a mistranslation changed a national custom. In the mid-1950s, department stores began to introduce the idea of Valentine's Day. However, a statement from a company executive was incorrectly translated, leading people to believe that it was traditional for women to give chocolate to men. Japan now has a separate holiday on the 14th of March, when men buy white chocolate for their loved ones. On the 14th of February, it's still the women who buy chocolate for the men.
Colors are one of the first things most children learn to say, both in a first and second language. So you'd think that they'd be easy to translate. Apparently not. Some words don't have a direct translation. The Spanish word guindo, for example, actually means sour cherry, but it's difficult to convey the same bright color in English. The only way to describe it is by using approximates, like reddish brown or dark red. Other colors present even greater challenges. A surprising number of languages have the same word for both blue and green. Vietnamese, which has millions of speakers, uses the same word, sang, to refer to both the sky and leaves on trees. In Japanese and Korean, a green traffic light can also be called a blue light. Meanwhile, a language which is spoken in the Philippines, called Hanuno, has only four words to talk about colors: black, white, red and green. Peraha, an Amazonian tribal language, has no words for colors at all. The only way to describe a color is by comparing it to something else, such as like blood for the color red. Some languages, on the other hand, have a number of words for just one color. The Native American speakers of Navajo have two words for black. There's the black that is associated with darkness and another for the color of coal. And in Spanish, there is a whole range of words to say brown, depending on whether it describes animals, hair color, coffee, or sugar.
Logically, language plays an important part when it comes to international relations. In the European Parliament alone, 23 different languages are spoken. The Parliament relies on the assistance of hundreds of interpreters to do their work. 23 languages may not seem much, but when you consider the many combinations, for example, Swedish into Greek or Latvian into Maltese, there are 506 language combinations. It's not surprising that the writer Umberto Eco once said, "The language of Europe is translation." When it comes to negotiating international treaties, interpreters are hard at work behind the scenes. They make sure that the language selected is acceptable to both sides, and that it means exactly what it is intended to mean. In fact, the nuances of a single word are often debated for many hours before an agreement can be reached. Virtually every communication between countries must be translated, even the simplest document. When President Obama received a letter from the King of Bhutan, the US State Department had to find someone familiar with the Dzongkha language to translate. After searching everywhere, they managed to locate a specialist in the language. Unfortunately, he refused to do the translation, explaining that the letter was written in Royal Dzongkha, a language he felt he was not worthy to read. Anxious about possible diplomatic repercussions, the department's translation team eventually found another Dzongkha specialist. He was happy to report that the letter contained greetings to the president and wished him a happy new year.